Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation with Mike Tidwell, who is executive director of the Chesapeake Climate Action Network. And he wrote an op-ed on February the 14th, Valentine's Day, no less, called The Sky is Falling. A warming world increases atmospheric moisture, which leads to massive snowstorms. Mike, welcome. Good to have you with us once again.
It's great to be on the show.
So this is counterintuitive to most of us. I mean, we're seeing snowstorms cold, and all the naysayers and right-wing talk shows are saying, see, this is global warming?
Well, I'm very careful to say that no single weather event or any single winter can prove or disprove global warming. So all the deniers who say all this snow proves there's no global warming, that's as ridiculous as saying one winter proves there is, is global warming, or one summer proves anything. The point is this: the overall pattern that we've seen for the last century points toward a warmer planet. And that, the Bush administration said this over and over again in their own official scientific studies and reports. So I'll go with the Bush administration's, take on this. Human beings are driving global warming through fossil fuels. The planet is getting warmer. And as you warm the planet, you actually put more moisture into the atmosphere. There's more evaporation from the oceans. There's more evaporation from land surfaces. And a warmer atmosphere holds more moisture. Fast forward to the winter of 2010, 2009-2010, you've got Baltimore experiencing unrecognizable snowfall, extreme precipitation. Now, we're not talking extreme or record temperatures. The temperatures have been, moderately colder than usual, but nothing record-shattering. It's the moisture that's driving these snowstorms, and this is precisely what scientists have said we should expect in the Northeast, and that they're already seeing, and it is the case.
Now, one of the things you say in the op-ed you wrote for The Sun, Mike, is you said that of the 10 heaviest snowstorms recorded in Baltimore since 1870, three have occurred in the last 7 weeks, and that we have never gotten even two storms of 19-plus inches in a single season, much less three. And this has happened in Philly and Baltimore. And D.C. So, I mean, so tie in for us how this question of greater moisture in the air feeds into that, and how that works.
Well, again, this snowfall this year has rendered the winter season utterly unrecognizable. I mean, we basically in this region of Philadelphia to Washington, we live in a region of canyons and trenches. Canyons for the streets, trenches for the sidewalks. It's just astonishing. Those of us who've lived here a long time, old-timers who've lived here their entire lives, no one's seen anything like this. Again, as you said, three of the 10 biggest snowstorms since 1870 have happened in the last 7 weeks. So this isn't just a snowy winter. This is a unrecognizable, off-the-charts winter. So why is it happening again? Again, it's not record cold. It's the moisture. Where's the moisture coming from? Well, we've just had these huge blasts of Northeasters bringing up moisture from the south. It's not an unheard of phenomenon, but the frequency and intensity of the moisture is record setting. There are those who say, well, I heard the radio, the TV weatherman said it's El Nino year. Well, yes, El Nino year worldwide, which tends to bring more moisture to certain parts of North America. But the reality is El Niños themselves are acting stranger because of global warming. They're happening more frequently and they're lasting longer. And so you've got an El Nino pattern that's intensifying toward a warming state, and you've got this record moisture in the atmosphere being expressed in measurable record precipitation events up and down the East Coast, according to multiple studies in the last 10 years.
So how does – talk a bit about how global warming and why that's increased water vapor by 5% over the 20th century, as you write in your article that P.Y. Grossman and his colleagues reported in 2004. How does that happen? Why is that happening?
Well, again, when you burn fossil fuels, oil, oil, coal, and natural gas, one byproduct is an odorless, invisible gas, carbon dioxide. Most people have heard of that by now. It migrates to the atmosphere. It traps heat. Nobody disputes whether that's the case. No credible scientist disagrees that when you burn fossil fuels, you create CO2 and it traps heat in the atmosphere. So the planet is warming as a result of this increase in greenhouse gases. When you warm the planet, you warm the atmosphere, and a warmer atmosphere holds more moisture. It's why you have more, you know, more humidity in the tropics than in the Arctic. It's just warmer air can hold more water. And that's because the oceans are evaporating. In addition to that, the oceans are evaporating at a higher rate. Even the Great Lakes, you know, the greatest bodies of fresh water in the world, spend less time every year frozen because of global warming, and therefore spend more time evaporating. So the Great Lakes themselves are warming and evaporating. They spend less time covered in ice, so they evaporate more during the winter. You have, you know, desertification because of global warming. More soil moisture is evaporating to the atmosphere. So there's more of it up there. And what scientists have found is, you know, what goes up must come down. And it tends, this increased moisture in the atmosphere tends to be coming down in bursts, in extreme precipitation events. Not just snow, but also rain.
Right.
And this has been measured, that the biggest precipitation event on the East Coast have increased by 20% in the last 25 years. That's the events involving two or more inches of rain in a single day. So it fits the pattern of what we're seeing.
So and it does when you think about not just a snowstorm, but when you think about the year of 2009 and the immense amount of rain that we had spring, summer, and fall, that was also unheard of. I've never seen Baltimore as rainy as this last year. I can't remember.
I mean, you talk to people in San Francisco in 1 week in January in San Francisco, they got a year's worth of rain. You talk to, the weather is weird everywhere. You look at the Olympics in Vancouver, they're starved for snow. The weather is unrecognizable wherever you go in the world. It's either too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry. And this is precisely the sort of scrambling, chaotic result that climate scientists say that we should expect and that we're actually, in fact, seeing with a warming planet.
So people have complained a lot about Washington and Baltimore and Maryland and snow removal. But one of the things I was thinking about after reading your article is that really our governments here are not Minnesota. We don't think of ourselves like that. So we're not prepared for this. And it's costing the government a lot of money in their budgets. And as you write, $2 billion in lost sales from the December 19th storm alone. This is it's having a huge economic impact on our region.
You know, when people complain about the city of Baltimore being slow to remove snow or the city of Washington, you know, the thing is, these mayors, these governors, they're not magicians. When you get, you know, unfathomably huge precipitation events that history's never seen before, that science has never recorded, you can't expect them to immediately deal with what was never imagined could happen to begin with. And we should get used to it. There's going to be more of it. You know, our political system, our economy was developed based on a certain weather pattern, a certain stable climate that our agriculture and our whole civilization developed around. And if you start changing that, you can't expect suddenly for city services to just be heroically capable at an instant's notice to get rid of 3 feet of snow. It's just not going to happen. It's unrealistic to expect it. And we need to start filtering and understanding that this is a consequence of a destabilized climate, and it's going to cause dislocations. It's going to cause disruptions. And instead of, you know, blaming the politicians, who, look, they should do better. City services can always be better, but they can't work miracles when the weather is unrecognizable. And we need to take that recognition and understanding and ask ourselves, well, what can be done? What do we need to do to begin solving this problem over the longer term? And that solution is get off fossil fuels as fast as we can, the ultimate cause of this problem.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because I think that, you know, we're in the midst of this debate in America now about how to shift our economy from a carbon fuel-based economy to, and that is what that's how we built our nation, agriculture and industry, how we shift that to what we call cleaner energy and a different way of living. It's going to take a huge amount of time and investment to make that happen, to shift and move ahead. And we're seeing in Maryland now this debate over these transmission lines that want to come across Western Maryland to the Eastern Shore that are being based on the filthiest of our fuel, which is coal. And so this debate is right here in Maryland about what we can do about it. So talk a bit about where you see the conversation and the struggles taking place for us to shift this.
Well, ultimately, the conversation and the solution does not have to be complicated. And I just want to throw out one story.
All right.
The most successful environmental bill of any kind I've ever seen was just implemented by the government of the District of Columbia beginning January 1st of this year. Very simple. You want a plastic bag from your grocery store or the drugstore, you pay 5 cents for it. You pay a nickel for a plastic bag. You know what happened instantly, Mark?
What's that?
Instantly, in the District of Columbia, the use of plastic bags was cut in half, probably more than that. Now, this was done because 47% of the physical pollution in Anacostia River is actually plastic bags. So you have a 5 cent fee for a plastic bag that cut demand in half instantly. Not through some, you know, agencies and people yelling, go green. It was a simple price signal. A simple price signal radically changed human behavior. And not just in the District of Columbia. The surrounding Maryland and Virginia suburban counties of D.C., they've seen a plummet in plastic bag use also. Even though the fee doesn't even apply to those states, it's because people are hearing about it. They're changing their behavior. It's just been amazing. So here's the point. If you put a price signal on our use of oil, coal, and natural gas, just make those more expensive than wind and solar and efficiency, you will see dramatic behavior change everywhere in the economy, ubiquitously, uniformly, and let the market take over. Let human behavior drive the market. So that's what we need. And thankfully, there's now a bill in Congress, not the cap and trade bill, which is pretty much dead,
right,
but a new bill called the cap and dividend bill that would cap carbon emissions and rebate 75% of the money to Americans, and it would achieve this behavior change by creating this price signal.
Now, that's an interesting act. I want to get you back on to talk about that in a conversation that's longer on the air. And I think that, you know, between those kinds of things and the how you shift the green technology is a huge piece of this, because as an investor told me just recently, we're not investing in green technology because it hasn't proved profitable, but oil has. And so we've got to shift that to make it work. The government
and
has
if
to
you
shift
create
it.
A price signal, you don't have to worry about investments. You don't have to have the government promoting anything. The market will take care of it. Look, if coal-fired electricity is more expensive, you know, because we've put a price signal on it and we've required coal burners to go to market to buy a permit, then wind power is going to thrive. Electric cars are going to thrive, not because we command it, but because the market commands it. And it will happen everywhere. Investments will happen. Green jobs will be created. We don't need bureaucracies and government trainings. They will just happen. And Americans will profit as a result. So, there's this feeling that the climate science is complicated, the policy response is complicated. You know, there are all these things we need to do, and power lines, and this and that and the other. No. If we do it right, all you do is say, you want to introduce Saudi Arabian oil into the U.S. economy? You want to bring coal out of the ground in Appalachia? You need a permit. You're going to pay for it. You're going to be the first seller of fossil fuels into the economy. You got to get a permit. The fossil fuel companies are going to pass that cost on to the consumers. Your energy bills are going to go up for coal-fired electricity and gasoline at the pump, which means what? Which means there will be a huge instant demand for electric cars and wind power, and the industries will take care of it on their own, and it won't be complicated. And again, I appeal to the basic story of the D.C. plastic bag tax. That price signal has been stunning in the amount of behavior change and the way it's just changed the pollution, the biggest pollution problem in the city overnight, instantly.
Mike Tidwell, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You've raised a lot of really important issues for us to realize, A, that all this wind and storm and rain and snow we're experiencing may have a great deal to do with global warming and the amount of moisture that's in the atmosphere, water vapors in the atmosphere now that wasn't there before, why it's such madness out there, and with the solutions he brought us, talking about what we can do. We'll have him on a great deal more. Mike Tidwell, Executive Director of the Chesapeake Climate Action Network. His op-ed was in the Baltimore Sun, February 14th, called The Sky Really Is Falling. Mike, thanks so much. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, Mark. Take care.
Bye-bye. And we're going to take a brief break now. We'll be right back. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still here to help people during difficult times. More information is available at mecu.com.